Hi, good vach. This is Yisachar Wertel, and we are now up to Parsha Korach. That's right, not Korach, the sandwich that you eat on Pesach, but Korach. All right, so much to talk about. It's not that long of a Parsha, but there's a lot in it. Before we get started, once again, I want to mention this year's sponsored and loving memory of Sarah Balabat Menachem Mendel, Meher Neshama Haven Aliyah. And after the whole episode with Korach and he's swallowed up in the earth and the whole matter of the incense and you have the plague, that, you know, take place and ultimately Aaron has to bring Ketoret. I heard a whole long thing about like what exactly he did and a lot of different interpretations as to how he stopped it or in what way he stopped it. But effectively then Hashem wants a new thing to kind of boost B'nai Yisrael even further, that they just saw that the Ketoret is actually good now. And now they wanted to prove once and for all, Hashem wanted to prove to the Jewish people once and for all that Moshe didn't choose Aaron out of favoritism, but that Aaron made it out of his own merits, and that was Hashem's choice to choose Aaron as the Kohen Gadol. So in order to prove this, Hashem commands Moshe to gather all of the staffs of the 12 tribal leaders, one to represent each Shevet, and Hashem then commands that Aaron's staff also be represented to represent the tribe of Levi, as well as Aaron himself. Hence, in this parsha, it's one of the only instances where the tribes are actually counted as 13, right? Because it specifically says 12 tribes plus Aaron's staff. So there are 13 staffs, right? Normally, if Levi is counted, then Menashe and Ephraim are together as one, meaning Yosef. And if Levi is not counted, then they're separately, as Menashe and Ephraim are two separate tribes. In this particular case, Menashe and Ephraim were separate tribes, but Levi was also counted, albeit slightly separately, right? So that's different. Now, we do see a similar idea in the census, that even though the Levium weren't counted in the same census as the other 12, they were counted right afterwards. So that's kind of an idea of 12 and 1, but very rarely do we ever actually see them combined together as 13. Number 13, as well as number 12, but especially the number 13 has a lot of significance in Judaism and mysticism. One is that it's equal to the word Echad, one. Aleph Chet Dalet numerically is equal to 13. Now, interestingly enough, Echad contains within it the word Chad, which also means one. So it's interesting that that is the value of 12, right? Chet Dalet, right? But missing the Aleph. Now, the word Chad also can mean sharp, as like when Yitzchak, or like excited, as like when Yitzro was excited by what happened with Bnei Yisrael. When each tribe has something to stand for and possesses a unique attribute, it is sharp. It stands out on its own merits, and the nation is one by being a unified group of different kinds of people. They don't have to all be the same. In the case of the Nesi'im, they were all the same. But normally, inherently, each tribe has different characteristics, and each one has its own strengths and weaknesses, too. Right? So each one can be strong and sharp in their own way and still come together in unity to form Chad, which is a unification meaning one. However, when there's discourse and people fail to appreciate the differences, and they can only be, again, unified if they see themselves as all part of the one, not just being B'nai Yisrael, but part of the one who is the one of everything and is part of everything, and that's Hashem. Everybody, everything, everybody, the whole world, the whole universe, physical, spiritual, doesn't matter, is all part of Hashem. Everybody, everything is all, in some respects, part of Hashem and a manifestation on some level of Hashem's will. Now, Aaron in this instance represented Hashem or Hashem's will, and Aaron is the one and the only one in this particular case who was specifically chosen by Hashem, and he was in this case chosen to be the Kohen Gadol. By establishing the divine choice and the dominance of the oneness of Hashem, which is symbolized by the letter Aleph, the Aleph is thereby placed in front of the word Chad and becomes a true one, right? Because it is now a one which is fully unified. It has the Aleph in front of the Chet Dalet, and it goes from Chad to being Echad, which is a true one, which is one of the reasons we call Hashem Echad, right? Because he is a true one without divisions, parts, whatever you want to call it, even though we sometimes use certain parts to explain things to us. In essence, he actually has no divisions. Now, the number 13, as many people know, is also numerically equivalent to Ahava, right? Love. Aleph Hey Vet Hey. Now, the inner root of this also, you guessed it, right, is Hav or Hava, right, meaning to give, because true love is wanting to give fully to the other entity. So, again, you have this similar idea. Now, Hava is, it's a great word for a wedding, but if we just take Ahava without the Aleph, right? It's hava. It's being generous and give. It's reciprocal. Hey, bet, hey. You know, you give to another person, they give back to you. It's reciprocal. Each one wants to help the other. Hava, each one wants to give. When you put the aleph in front, you might think that that's putting yourself first, but you're actually putting the other self first, meaning the person you're giving it to. You're singling them out as the worthy recipient. So the aleph, which means one, doesn't necessarily have to mean you. When you are truly in love, you want to give more than anything else to that other person, that specific individual. So too, Hashem loves us and he wants to give us things, and we should in turn have ahava with Hashem. We should want to give in some level reciprocal nature, but we should be focusing on what we can do. I mean, obviously in this case, Hashem doesn't need anything per se, but what we can do according to help with what Hashem wants us to do, with Hashem's will. Now, in our parsha, Korach put the wrong aleph in front. Korach and some of the other members of the nation, you know, the other members of Reuven who wants to be the Bechor, and of course, Dothan and Aviram, they wanted honor. They wanted kavod, right? They didn't want love. They wanted kavod. They wanted something which, interestingly enough, kavod actually has the gematria of lev, which means heart, something I've been learning recently. And there's a lot to be said about the number 32 and the concept of lev. But when you want kavod in your heart, then your heart's not in the right place. Ahava should be in your heart. Ahava should be in the lev. But when kavod is in the lev should be wanting to give kavod to other people and to Hashem. But when that lev, when your heart wants kavod for yourself, that's where it becomes problematic. Korach wanted to be a recipient more than a giver. His followers wanted to be recipients. They wanted to get things, even though they already got so much, especially, you know, Korach himself being a Levite. He didn't put others first. He didn't put what Hashem wanted first. He didn't put what was best for the nation first. He put himself first. However, if you put Hashem first and realize that he is the only one who truly gives, then the aleph becomes ahava. And the lev becomes shalim. The heart becomes full because you're giving glory to God by doing what he wants. That's true love. That's true ahavas Hashem, when you want to do what Hashem wants. Now, this notion of oneness, which we see in the concept of ahava and certainly in the concept of echad, was symbolized by the 13 staffs. Now, the word for staff is mateh. Now, it's also the word for shevet, by the way. It's the same word we use the term mateh, meaning a tribe also. That's another talk. But the word mateh, mem tet hey, is numerically equal to 54, which, if you have 13 of them, guess what that equals? 702, the value of Shabbat, shin bet tov. Shabbos is a time to reflect upon Hashem's oneness, again, times 13, echad, right? And everything that comes from him, everything he designates and determines. Now, normally, Shabbos is symbolized by the number 7. But when one realizes that Shabbos restores us from the previous 6 days and gives us the strength for the upcoming 6, we see it's actually the center of a string of 13, which is something that I've spoken about numerous times. It takes in with it the week from before, and it ushers out to the week after, and it's connected to both weeks. So you have 6, 1, and 6. So effectively, you have 12 and 1, symbolic of today. We also know there's numerous instances where you have, you know, by Har Grizim and Har Evel, and other instances where you have the nation being split into 6 and 6. And then there's some instances where there's a unifying 1. Now, usually it's not part of the same collective. As I said, this is one of the few times where we actually have a bona fide 13. But there is an ongoing notion throughout the Torah and Navi of 6, 6, and some form of 1. And in this case, Aaron's staff wound up blossoming before all the other staffs. So, in a sense, it wasn't exactly equal to the other 12. It was still something different. But by being different, it created an acknowledgement of what Hashem wanted, and it created a moral and spiritualistic clarity that allowed the people to once again be unified in realizing that there was a leader to function as the Kohen Gadol, and that was Aaron, and that was chosen by Hashem, and they no longer had to bicker and be divided as 12 separate units or 250 units or whatever it was. They were now unified again. This was a day to truly recognize the role of Hashem, just as Shabbos is a day to truly recognize the role of Hashem in our lives, and we can realize how much Hashem has a hand in every aspect of our lives, in the past and in the future, just like Shabbos, right? The past 6 days and the future 6 days. The Jewish people had to recognize that this was Aram's staff, and it blossomed into beautiful flowers, because when you recognize Hashem's will and you have that sense of clarity and you're able to come together with other people in recognizing that clarity, there's an immense sense of not just love, but also beauty. So that's something which is also ties into the concept of Ne'eh, which is 56, which is another number to talk about. You know, we talk about special numbers in Judaism, but every number pretty much in Judaism has some special meaning. I mean, some occur more than others. But, you know, obviously we're thinking about the number 13. It's not just the time of a bar mitzvah, and it's not the, just the Gimel Midos. We have that too. But it's also Ahava. It's also Echad. And one that we might not think of, it's also Shabbos. We often think, I said, of the number 7, but we have the past week, the future week. Shabbos is the bridge. We take in our lessons from the past week, we reflect on that, and we go out and use the strength of Shabbos to give us koach for the future week. So maybe Bizucha to remember the concept that it's a time to reflect upon Hashem, but also to share our love and achdus, unity, with other people. Shabbat shalom.